Welcome, everyone, to the Office Practicum Pediatrics Podcast. That's pediatrics with a K. I'm Sean Rossler, Senior Instructional Designer on OP's Knowledge Team and the host of the Pediatrics Podcast. And our mission on the show is to make your lives easier. No, we won't be able to change the battery in that one toy that pinches your finger every single time you change it. But we do hope you'll leave this podcast learning something new. When you can see change coming, well, a lot of times those very changes can be much more easily navigable in nature with that knowledge. And to that end, you may have heard rumors or caught webinars, or both for that matter, indicating the changes that are coming to E&M coding. And one of the most useful elements to assist you as a user in navigating your care landscape. Picking a code, as routine as it might seem, can come with an array of elements, distractors, and the like, both seen and unseen. If only there were a way to routinely determine complexity in a standardized manner, well, that's where medical decision-making, or MDM, comes into play. On today's podcast, Dr. Sue Cressley, OP's medical director, joins us to talk about this very topic, which she wants to help us all demystify it a bit. Straightforward, low, moderate, high, simple enough to say, but how do we best determine when to apply each and what tools are available? Let's find out. Dr. Cressley, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me and looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you so much for finding time. I know you're a busy human being. We want to capitalize on every single bit of time that we have here to talk about MDM. But, you know, up front, we always do a tell us about yourself here at OP. But this is quite literally me just turning 6 months, like the most popular kid in school being asked by the kid who just moved in. But for anyone who might not know just who you are, could you tell us all a little bit about yourself?
Happy to. I'm a general pediatrician with more than 30 years of experience in independent practice. I'm the medical director of OP, and probably the most relevant here, as my dear friend and colleague Suzanne Berman likes to say, I have a dominant advocacy gene. where I see pediatricians needing a voice and an opportunity to elevate all the great work we do, I can't help myself but to lean in. And that has led me to lots of leadership opportunities at the American Academy of Pediatrics, including those around coding and payment. Mm-hmm. And currently I'm serving as chair of the Payer Advocacy Advisor Committee for the Academy, and that's a different discussion for a different day about how we get paid for this on the other end.
That's a whole other discussion. Yeah, that's so incredible. And I've had the opportunity to you know, stand in the in the light of such lanterns as yourself, who are not just about themselves, but you're about advocating for others. And I think that's so incredible. So when I heard this topic come up at our standing Thursday meeting and how passionate you were about it, I mean, the switch just went on for me. I'm like, wow, you know, not only do we need you to get your message out there, but I almost feel like you're probably even more compelled to get that message out there. Specifically about medical decision-making and, you know, how it can help navigate E&M coding, again, how we get paid for a later date. So medical decision-making, talk to me like I'm five. As a concept, how would you best and most simply explain it to me? I've worked with some other EHRs. I can remember assigning LOSs, levels of service, but I'm going to imagine it's not that simple.
Yeah, you're right. It's not that simple. But really what we're talking about in medical decision making is the expertise we have as pediatricians and providers to make decisions about care. It's about the complexity of the visit and the work that you do at the visit, which really comes from three unique areas. And when you pick a level of visit, and we're talking about office visit, sick visits only now. These are the only things that are changing and that we need to get our heads around medical decision making. But there's three areas. And this is the crux of everything. And this is not complex. It, the devil's in the details. Mm-hmm. It is the number of problems you address and the nature of the problems. So this isn't just picking adding a diagnosis to your visit note, like the child has asthma. It's that you actually address the asthma somewhere in your note so that if you get audited by a payer, the auditor can say, oh, I see how you addressed that asthma. You wrote reviewed asthma action plan, family comfortable with care, has plenty of controller and rescue medications. I can make that happen. So the first is those number of problems and the kind of problems you address at the visit. The second component is how much additional information you need to review, to get a reasonable idea of a working diagnosis, what I really think is happening with this patient, and to formulate a treatment plan with them. So sometimes you have to review the ER report that you got. Sometimes you have to review labs that you got today, or if it's a child who has recurrent strep, you're actually looking backward and seeing how often have they had a recurrent strep. But that's the kind of information that you need to figure out what your working diagnoses are and to start crafting a treatment plan. And then the third arm of this is risk. And it's not about how complex the patient is. It's really about how complex and risky your treatment plan is. So are you going to have to hospitalize that patient? That's pretty risky, right? Or am I going to have to write medications? So it is problems you address, information and data you review, and the risk of your treatment plan.
So those three arms considered, based on that then, you know, that alone, if you take that and, you know, you categorize those three arms, like, that's going to help users just to start more uniformly code. But can you also share how MDM can maybe help navigate the E&M coding changes that are up and coming, that are on the horizon?
So we're used to picking our level of our visit, what we're charging the CPT code for an office visit. In pediatrics, it was either traditionally by the time we spent counseling or coordinating care, not the total time of the visit, but the part of it that was counseling, or where there were bullet point checkpoints of how many items did I record in a history of the present illness, how many exam elements, and did I meet the level to get to the code. That piece is going away, and now there are only two choices left for physicians to pick when choosing their code. It's time, and that's we'll hit that on a different topic, but that's the time, the clinical time the provider spends on the day of the visit, or medical decision-making. And believe it or not, medical decision-making has always been there, but traditionally pediatricians have punted because a lot of the guidance around medical decision-making was written for adults with chronic diseases. I address their hypertension, diet, type 2 diabetes, depression, and what have you. And we see a lot of kids with ear infections, strep throats, and asthma flares. And it was sort of hard for us to wrap our head around it because we try to not order tests in pediatrics. We don't want to get a CAT scan and sedate a kid. So we sort of lost in pediatrics when we played the MDM game. But the game has changed and we can conquer it if we understand how it's built.
Gotcha. I mean, sounds completely logical. You know, my favorite thing, having, you know, nothing to do with the medical field whatsoever, is, you know, take my choices and make them two. I let my wife pick what I wear, and she wants to have me involved, so she'll give me two shirts. Anything beyond two shirts, and I'm gone. Like, I'll stand there all day and I'll look at it. So, like, simplifying things down to that, you know, whether it be clothing choices for a husband or, you know, clearly more impactful choices such as these. I mean, what a great way to, you know, streamline and help that decision be even more clear. Let's get a little more specific into our collective wheelhouse. You know, I'm a trainer, e-learning guy. There's got to be specific differences in coding an MDM based on patient age. You know, for the trainer, for the e-learning guy, for the teacher, you know, kids are different across all their learning, and clearly they're different across clinical presentation. Can you share with us a little bit about what key common pediatric elements look like that can drive MDM?
Absolutely. So we have a win here in MDM that didn't exist for pediatrics before, and that is that most of our patients, especially young patients, require what's called an independent historian. And that adds complexity to the visit. I just can't go to my three-month-old and say, so, like, tell me how you're feeling this morning and how you slept last night. I have to ask their parents, like, tell me more information. And the fact that you need an independent historian to get a full story and to be able to formulate that diagnostic differential diagnosis as well as a treatment plan, that adds to the complexity of the visit in itself. Now, it falls automatically into the data analysis section, which sort of seems not intuitive, but I'll take it wherever they want to put it. And so by just using that independent historian, you've moved the pediatric visit to a level four or moderate visit, just because you have to ask someone other than the patient themselves some of those questions. Now, you still have to meet one of the other two, either the problems addressed or the risk, but this is huge for pediatricians and a big win. And I would actually say it's probably huge for geriatricians too, when they're taking care of elderly patients who can't necessarily give their own history and information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, makes total sense. So take me through the full scenario. You know, we, and I say we, I, you already have the knowledge, and most people, you know, listening hopefully came to the table with some of this clinical knowledge, but I feel more well-informed about it now. Paint the scenario for me. Walk me through how MDM would be conducted differently based on application, like in a typical visit.
Okay, so let's pretend you have an 8-year-old patient that you know really well. You followed the family since he was 2 months old, and he's got pretty well-controlled asthma, and he comes in with some congestion and a runny nose, and he's not really sick. So you're thinking, okay, this isn't very risky. He doesn't look like I'm going to have to hospitalize him. And you're thinking, maybe his allergies are flaring. So you ask the mom, independent historian, flat check that box, right? Are there any changes in your home environment, right? And she says, well, you know what? Grandma came to stay with us during COVID and she brought her cat along. And so in your head, as a pediatrician, you're saying, okay, this is an allergy that's worsening. So that, remember those problems addressed, that this is a chronic condition that's worsening. And the patient's asthma is really not flaring, but it might be with this cat. So remember that you review your asthma medications and the asthma action plan. So now you have two problems that you addressed. One is chronic and stable. One is chronic is worsening. Mm-hmm. So now you have two problems. You used an independent historian. That's a 99214. Slam dunk. You're finished. Now, people say, well, what about that time? And we're not focusing on this. But because I know this family, this would probably take me 10 minutes in exam room and 3 minutes to document. Mm-hmm. And that only gives me a 99213, maybe based on time. Mm-hmm. But if I use this MDM, I can value the work that I did, code a higher level, an appropriate 99214, and get paid appropriately to do so.
That makes total sense. And I mean, I have a 7-year-old who has a peanut allergy, but I imagine the way that we go in and we interface with his primary, you know, to your point, Doc, I mean, it is that 10 minutes. Like, it's not long, you know, they know. And I have to present because our youngest is on spectrum, can't necessarily represent himself. So like, I could totally immerse myself into that. And again, it makes total sense. And it seems, I don't want to say it seems easy because I'm not in the right seat to do so, but from my point of ignorance, it does seem easy. So, you know, these E&M coding changes are coming in January, and I know we want to get folks prepared and that this topic is near and dear to you. How and why do you want to get users excited about this?
Well, first of all, I think always knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Pediatricians typically undervalue our work, and if we're uncertain, our natural inclination is to code lower so we won't have to give money back if we're audited.
Right.
However, just because we do it every day doesn't mean it has inherent moderate value, right? We are the people who you know the family. You have a longstanding conversation. You interview the parent as part of your visit, and that has value. So mastering the medical decision-making has the power to help us really recognize our worth and be paid appropriately for giving great care.
Incredible. Incredible. So to wrap it all up, what does success look like for us?
So for me, it's pediatricians are documenting with ease and not over-documenting meaningless stuff. What is needed for the visit, coding appropriately and confidently, getting increased payments so we have more resources to deliver great care to the families of our communities.
I can't tell you how logical that sounds. And, you know, I certainly am walking away from today with such a better understanding of it. Dr. Kressley, thank you so much for taking the time to share this with us. I hope everyone, you know, at least has a better understanding of both the coming changes and MDM. So again, I can't thank you enough. It's been an honor.
Thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to future conversations.
Absolutely. Thanks again. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Office Practicum Pediatrics Podcast, or OP3. Be sure to watch for updates and other announcements via both our OP community listserv, as well as our social media outlets. And if you, yes you, have an idea for a guest, or would like to be a guest yourself, reach out to the show. We'd love to hear from you. Be well, stay safe, and remember, we can always learn new tricks.